It's time for the Bench Warmers, featuring Dave Schwartz from Care 11.
Dave's a killer!
Yeah. And Jill Hammy.
The Hell League you've been playing in.
Schwartz and Hammy. Sounds like a cop sitcom. On the next Schwartz and Hammy, I'm gonna get you, sucker. The Bench Warmers.
Let's go!
On Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I love that.
I do too.
What league have you been playing in?
He done good.
California Penal. Good morning, everybody. Sunday, 10 a.m. Bench Warmers are here. I'm Dave Schwartz. That's Jill Hammy. I can guarantee you we are not going to talk about any dresses that are black or blue or gold or white.
Why'd you even have llamas? To bring that up?
Because it's been my world this week.
Has it really?
Sadly, yes.
Sorry. Why?
Well,
I will admit I did see it as gold and white.
See, I did too. I don't understand how you see blue and black, but.
But then when they did the fade, like the, here's this picture, when they lightened it up, lightened the picture up or darkened it or whatever, then I could see it.
See, now we're talking about it.
Dang it. Okay, let's stop. Let's stop.
Here's what we will talk about in the next hour. KG is back. We'll chat about his game last night. We'll also talk about Richard Pitino, as well as a little bit of Adrian Peterson talk, very little bit. We'll get into the NFL draft coming up. David Cobb from the Golden Gopher football team, former Golden Gopher, will join us in a little while, as long as he was able to get out of Dinkytown last night.
Hopefully he found a ride.
Which we think he was.
If I would have seen it sooner, I could have gone down and gotten him. I'm very close.
We're right there, right?
Yes.
I don't think he can live that far. He could probably walk, right? I mean, run, although he's still nursing the quad.
And it's cold.
We'll ask him.
He's from Texas.
We'll ask him if he walked back or if he got a ride. We'll find out how he got out of Dinkytown. And we'll talk a little Wild as well. Everybody's talking about the Wild because all they just keep doing is winning. And so we'll talk about that. But
I lovingly call them the Minnesota Wild.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's market. See, don't say it on the radio. Patent it. Patent pending.
Well, I just ruined
it. Does that count as patent pending if you say it?
I don't think it can be a patent pending because I was behind a truck the other day and their company name was Minnesota. And I was like, no!
So what you're saying is you stole
I did, but I didn't know I stole it.
So are you a high school dance team? Is that what we're...
Oh, you went there.
I did.
Oh, Dave.
I'm okay with it. I like it. The Minnesota Wild.
The Minnesota Wild.
We're marketing that one.
Okay.
So let's talk about Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett, it is 2015, by the way, in case you're wondering if you went back in time. No, it is 2015. We're talking about Kevin Garnett. He came back this week. Two sellouts in the two games that he played. He sat out one because apparently he doesn't play back-to-back games. Not just back-to-back nights. He had night off, but back-to-back games. Flip Saunders told him he's going to play when he wants. That's what you get when you're Kevin Garnett. So that's okay. Last night he gets two technicals and gets tossed. If you saw the play, and I am not a basketball official, it was iffy.
Mm-hmm.
Flip Saunders, I think, agrees with me.
Yes, he does.
Their argument was is that, you know, you can't do that. You know, my argument by the rule book states that, you know, any action has to be in resentment to the call or a no call. What he did, he bounced the ball. It was because he was frustrated with himself that he made a foul. In no way was it a resentment to that. I mean, you can take the ball and throw the ball against the basket. You just grab it, and you know, if it's because you're disagreeing with the call, yeah, it should have been. But my point was is that he wasn't disagreeing with the call. So when it was said that it was an automatic technical foul, because it's not by the rule book, which I have right here, it's not. You know, so I was trying to get a better interpretation, so you know more down the line.
I agree with Flip.
He's right, 100%. He's right. I watched the play three or four times. You and I just watched a little while ago. The guy comes up. Garnett doesn't like the fact that he went past him and went to the bucket and slams the ball out of frustration. And then he tees him up. It's a ridiculous call. I don't really know why. Apparently the official whose name I'm forgetting last night was all about the technicals. I don't know if he was getting bonuses for technical fouls last night or if that's even the thing. But no, he should have gotten a technical. And for people who are saying, and I heard some people make arguments that he's a veteran, he should know that. Come on. Wait, what? Say it again, Kevin.
I don't know if I, hold on. Let's see if we can do it again.
Well, hell no.
Let's get to the crux of this here. He got a foul, a technical foul for bouncing a ball, which is what you do in basketball. How do you give someone a technical foul for bouncing a ball? I know the rule book, as Flip said, if you bounce it afterwards, but it's very clear that the whistle to stop the play comes, Kevin bounces the ball too high, then he gets the technical and it gets tossed.
I think this series of events, I don't know if the official got confused as to what happened when everything happened so quickly, but why would you automatically jump to that? It's like, okay, now you're getting thrown out of the game. What?
It was his second technical, so that you got to throw him out, but I agree. Why? Unless you're looking for it. And
right.
And we all know that in every sport, officials have guys they don't like. An ump we've seen in baseball, Joe West and Ron Gardenhire did not like each other ever. They got into a number that I don't know the numbers, but he tossed Gardy a lot when Gardy was here.
That should not be a factor. A personal relationship or a personal hatred or like of someone should not be a factor in a pro game.
I agree with you 100%, but it's impossible not to unless you have robots. I mean, unless you're going to have robots calling the games, it's always going to, but I agree with you. You can't have that. Other than that, I think having Garnett back is great for the Timberwolves. It's great for the town. Two sellouts already.
He has ignited the city. It's great to see. I think it's great for Minnesota to have something to be excited about. I mean, they're excited about him. They're getting excited about the team. He's doing amazing things already just with these guys on the bench. Even when he's not out there, he's calling plays. He's pointing things out to, you know, these guys. He kind of came in and was like, I'm the veteran. I'm the leader. And he stepped into that role and has made it work. And it's fun to watch.
And they had to have it. This is a team full of younger guys. And for people that didn't necessarily like the trade of getting rid of a young guy like Thad Young for a guy who's got maybe a year left in Kevin Garnett. And even at that, he's playing maybe every other game 5-10 minutes a night. They have five guys on the roster who are under 25 or under.
That's a
five guys already.
Team.
They need him.
Yeah.
They need veteran leadership. And if you heard what Milt Newton said at the press conference and Flip, this was a team, and I was kind of surprised by it, but apparently the young guys in this team don't know how to be professionals. In that after losses, they're giggling, they're laughing, and they're not taking it seriously. That should never happen.
No,
and
absolutely
it's never going to happen when Kevin Garnett's in that locker room. I'll tell you that right
now.
And
I know he, the first game at the press conference, I know he kind of touched on that too. So I have that clip now.
It actually felt like my rookie year. I'll be honest, with the energy and the anticipation of, I looked in the crowd, I saw my friends and family, I'm glad my daughters were here to see that. It was just a special time, and I can't even put it into words. But I thank everybody who came out and showed love in the city, man. I'm happy to be here, and I'm just hoping that we can, you know, obviously get some more wins and give the city something to be excited about. The kids, you want them to be off, you know, playing off of instincts, not just so much thinking. Listen, they got here off talent and ability alone, and I'm just trying to give them, you know, perspective, and that's it. I'm also trying to, you know, infuse confidence on the bench and just making sure that we're doing things together as a team.
Which is what he has done in his short time.
The first thing that struck me listening to him is the amount of maturity in his voice from the last time I heard it, which was so long ago. But he just sounds so worldly and intelligent. And I really do believe that he is here to embrace his role as a leader, as a teacher, and maybe as someone who potentially will own the team in some part someday, because I think that's something he aspires to do. And why not? I mean, he knows basketball. It's interesting. I don't know how he would do in the ownership role, if he would be what I'm hearing from him and what I'm seeing is that he's a guy who's becoming okay with sitting back and letting everyone else be the stars and be the guy who are going to take the lead, which is kind of what you want in your owner. You want your owner to just sit back, let everybody do their work, and let the guys perform. You don't want an owner who's going to use a mark, going to be like a Mark Cuban. He's going to be down there giving guys pointers on their shots. Zach LaVine is not going to, in 2 years from now, want to take pointers on his jumper from owner Kevin Garnett. He should be taking it from whoever the coach is. I think Garnett's getting there. And I think, you know, at some point he could be a good owner. I don't know what the chief, you know, what makes a good owner other than having a lot of money, because that helps. And by all accounts, I think he's got lots of that.
Lenny is a smart guy. He seems like a very smart guy. And he made it abundantly clear that he did not want a coach.
N-A-H. No.
Yeah. He made it very clear that he did not want to be a coach. So.
No.
But I mean, I don't see him. I get what you're saying, where he would kind of step back a little bit, but I don't see him fully stepping back. I don't think he could. I think he'd want to be still kind of in there and part of it just by, you know, seeing these last couple of games with him.
He's still in it. I mean, he still is, and we don't know what the future holds as to what he'll be like in a year or two. He's 38,
mm-hmm,
I 38. Believe.
Yep.
So 39, 40 years old, and he may be ready to step back at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
When it hurts to get out of bed every day, he may be there now.
And he's a funny, I mean, he is funny.
He is a funny guy. He's very good, and that's the part that's going to be interesting, is he's going to have to really step back out of the limelight if he wants to be an owner. I mean, Glenn Taylor isn't up there cracking jokes.
Right.
Thank goodness. Oh, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's very funny.
He could be.
The other big basketball event this week, the Gopher men's basketball team beat Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State is ranked. They went into their house and beat him there for the first time since, I believe, 1997 in East Lansing. They could have won it in regulation, but Carlos Morris misses a free throw and after he hits a big three, but they still go and they win. And it kind of had me wondering, you know, people have been kind of not calling for Richard Pitino's head, but wondering if he's the guy for the job. And I know the record per se isn't there where it was last year.
Yeah.
I still think he's doing a pretty good job, though. I still think he's bringing this program in the right direction.
I don't think it's time to chop him, yet. But, that's one game. Michigan didn't play exactly well either.
No, they did not.
So it's hard to say that this is going to be a turnaround or what. I mean, that's a bit late for that, but, I don't think it's time yet for him to go.
No, I think signature wins are key. He had 25 wins last year. They're already up to 17 this year. He's won 42 games. In his time at the University of Minnesota. Tubby Smith only won 20 his first season. So he did better than Tubby the first year. Tubby lost in the NIT in the first round. Pitino goes on and wins the entire NIT. And again, he still doesn't have all of his own players.
Yeah.
And that always makes a big difference when it comes to coaching. He doesn't have I don't even think he has many of his own players, you know, at this point. And yes, he missed out on some of the big recruits. He missed out on Reed Travis from De La Salle. He missed out on Tyus Jones, from Apple Valley, but he was never getting Tyus Jones. There's no way, right? I mean, he could do everything he could trying to put pressure on Tyus Jones, but when Mike Krzyzewski walks into your house, gives you a handshake with a right and says, I'd shake you with a left, but I can't lift my hand because of all the championship rings. You're going to Duke. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I still think that Richard Pitino he's 32 years old.
He's young.
I still think something about him, something about the way he coaches, something about the way he inspires the guys on his team to play and to dig deep, and about how so many times this year we've seen different guys take the lead, that I think when he gets all of his own players in here and really institutes his system, that they'll do well. And I really do think that there's a diamond in the rough there. I think he could be the next big thing. It may be crazy, but I do think that he could be a really good coach. Now, does he stay here or not? I don't know.
You're calling it. Well, you're sort of calling it.
I'm calling my shot.
You said it, and then you kind of started to take it back. So
he will bring the Gophers to a national. No, I'm not going there. I do think at some point in the next couple of years, he will be. They will contend. They will contend for a Big Ten title. But we're looking 5-7 years down the road. I think if he's still here. I mean, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
But I still think that there's some good guys in the state that are young that he could get, and if it works, if he continues to go, he could go.
You think?
Maybe.
I don't know a lot about the team, so it's
so political. You think?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
I go to my take and I go back on it.
I know. I wish I knew more about the team to be able to say one way or the other.
It's tough with college basketball.
It has to be so many different attitudes.
And it changes every year.
Right. And different elements.
Yep.
They have more on their plate than just, you know, basketball at that time. So
that's very true. Oh, speaking of more on his plate, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
He is a judge. I want to get the wording right. They overturn an arbitration reward is what it's called. So basically, David Doty, who is here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, said that the NFL cannot judge Adrian Peterson based on a new set of rules when what he did fell under the old set of rules. Essentially what that means, NFL, is it's not Adrian Peterson's fault that you had a garbage domestic abuse policy. which was basically, I think, two games.
Would he have not done it if it was a stricter policy?
Probably not.
You think?
Probably not. I don't think it would have mattered. Mm-hmm. But that's not his fault that the NFL had a really, really bad policy. And then they said, well, and then when Goodell saw that everyone hated him after the Ray Rice and Adrian
that's
Peterson, whoa, wait, you know what? Well, actually, I think our policy is six games, and then we can decide when we really want you back.
Yeah, that I didn't agree with. I mean, how do you have this in place and then all of a sudden change your mind? You change your mind because you had so much...
Yeah, he say Roger Goodell's made so many mistakes this year. He charges Ray Rice twice because the first penalty was basically taking a quarter out of his pocket and slapping him on the wrist. And then they decide, well, actually, we have to have much more. So we're going to actually give you, you know, seven, whatever it was, an infinite suspension. You can't do that. It's double jeopardy. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it in law. You're not allowed to do it in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now the NFL is going to appeal this. To me, is such sheer arrogance. It's absolute arrogance that they continue to fight this. And I'm not saying anything about Adrian Peterson or what he did, but it's complete arrogance. They will not let this go. They have lost. They're going to lose again. And they're just trying to fight this for the heck of it.
It's the never ending story.
Let's hope it'll end soon. But what will not end is this show. We have so much more to come. Hopefully we will talk with Golden Gopher running back David Cobb on the other side of this break. You are listening to the Benchwarmers on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, old school.
Fulton Pebble.
He has made it out of Dinky Town. Thank goodness. Former Golden Gopher running back David Cobb joins us now on the Benchwarmers. Morning, David.
How you doing? Good morning.
How did you get out of Dinky Town last night? I heard you tweeted that you were stuck.
You needed a ride?
Well, more so. Good thing I had a teammate or two to come pick me up.
Oh, there you go.
We lost you for a second there. Who came and picked you up?
I had a teammate come by and pick me up.
It had to be an offensive lineman, right? I mean, they're always helping you out.
No, actually, it was Kirkwood.
How about that? Well, David just gets, you just finished up with the combine last weekend. First of all, what is it like standing in front of a room of 500, however many GMs, coaches, sitting there in nothing but your underwear, having them all judge you on your physical build? It sounds like it would be a little unnerving.
Well, the first thing I can tell you, it's different, and it's something I haven't done before, so.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you see them just look at you, and they go back to the paper, and they write something, they look at you again, and they write something. Like, man, what could that be writing?
What are you writing on that paper? You want to take a look?
A little different job interview for you. You had a, I guess you call it an incomplete combine in the 40. Pull up, the quad goes. First of all, was it your quad? And what did you think when you were running and you felt the injury? What went through your mind at that point?
Yeah, it was a quad, minor a quad strain. And, well, when I first thought off, it went through my mind, I'm flying. about 25, 27 yards, I kind of felt it. And you know, it kind of pulled at me, tightened up, and, you know, kind of popped on me a little bit. And it's one of those things, man. It's definitely frustrating, but again, at the same time, it's just another little bump in the road. And it'll be fine. And I enjoyed the combine. I got a chance to do the vertical and broad and everything else except a couple of the drills. So, I mean, it was frustrating at the time, of course, because you put so much work into it. But at the same time, I'm lucky to have another chance to do it. So everything will be fine.
What is it like training for that? I mean, there's got to be a ton involved.
Yeah, it's just a different process. Probably one of the most challenging things that I did, and it's one of those things where you change your diet. You get on a strict routine, and so when you get hungry around 10 o'clock with no more donut or, you know, a bowl of cereal.
You got to eat the healthy stuff.
Yeah, it's more bananas and broccoli and all the nasty stuff.
Is it true that the combine itself is very much of a mind game as well? I mean, we've heard kind of the stories of they keep you up late, they wake you up early. Is it really about how well you can perform in a very high-pressure situation?
Definitely, definitely it's a mind thing, I think. And, you know, you have to try to sneak a nap in. I just sleep in there, you can, because you're not gonna get it on their time. So,
like boot camp.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. You could be waking up at 4:30, maybe for two nights, and then get up at 6. And I mean, it's definitely challenging.
What was the, when you talk to all the teams, we've heard they like to ask very interesting, different and probing questions. Did you get a couple of questions that made you raise your eyebrows and kind of keep you off guard as to what you were going to answer? You don't have to tell specifics.
Yeah, I definitely think you went in there and you're expecting a little more football oriented question, but you know, some coaches like to throw you off and see how you react and get an answer out of you, get a reaction. So I definitely got some questions I wasn't ready for, but.
How many different teams did you talk to every team, or how many different teams talked to you, and how much of them do they express interest, or do they like to keep it close to their vest when they're talking to you?
Right. So how it is, I talked to a couple of different teams, almost all of them informally, but for formal interviews, you know, with the head coach and maybe a GM or maybe the running back coach in private room. I talked to maybe 13 different teams.
Wow.
You definitely can tell teams if they're more interested in you or teams that are just interviewing you. But they like to kind of keep it kind of in-house, kind of closed off. And, I mean, you could tell a team that's more interested in you than another, but they won't say much to you about it.
Can you tell us what teams that you thought were more interested in you than others? I mean, did you walk away with two or three teams that you thought, all right, one of these three cities I'm going to be in next year?
Oh yeah, definitely. I kind of got that vibe from the Titans, maybe the Chargers, Cardinals, Steelers and Ravens. I've been talking to the Vikings a lot, so
yeah,
hometown there.
You wouldn't have to move very far. You might be able to keep your same locker.
I probably would.
Still gonna have to stay in the cold, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dream. It's always been a dream to play at the next level, so pretty sure I can get over that.
Yeah, I guess it's easy to deal with once you're playing pro ball.
Right. What do you hope to show at your pro day, which is tomorrow over at the University of Minnesota? What do you, are there going to be a lot of teams in attendance, but what do you mainly hope to show them at this point?
Yeah, so pro day is tomorrow, but actually for me, I'm not going to do pro day tomorrow. Okay. It'll be early April, it'll be the first week in April. So again, that's a good thing for me to give me time to heal up a little bit. Probably get even a little better. So, but pro day, yeah, it'll be a lot of different teams out there tomorrow. Heard from several different coaches, and I think we have maybe 16 guys from the U that's going to be doing pro day. So, yeah, it'll be fun. And again, I'll just be out there having fun, encouraging my teammates, making sure they have everything they need. I'm definitely hoping for the best for them.
Are you putting off till April at this point? It'd be to get yourself 100%, or is that for, was this predetermined before you got hurt at the combine?
Yeah, just put it off till April to make sure I'm 100%. Make sure I can do everything the way I know I can do it.
Max Williams, your teammate, there are a lot of people talking about him. They think he's going to be a pretty good NFL player. What do you think? You think he'll be taken pretty high? Do you think he's going to be a very good pro?
I definitely think so, and I hope Max is on any team that I'm on. Max is a great guy. He's not on the field, he's off the field. Just he's laid back, but on the field, he's so intense. And, I mean, he's the ultimate competitor, and, man, if I could have a guy like that on my team, and hopefully he is, but if not, anywhere he goes, man, he'll adjust to it, and he'll get better, and he'll be playing in no time. And, it'll be the same thing that we're used to seeing from
David, how much does your style appeal to teams? I mean, in this day and age of the NFL where the running backs are being asked to basically just get yards, they don't want flashy, the running back position is devalued. You're a guy that goes straight forward, over 1,600 yards this year, 7 100-yard games. Your style in itself, I think, is something that would appeal to NFL GMs and coaches. Is that what you've heard?
Yeah, and luckily, that is one of the things that goes in my favor, just kind of my size and the physical play and our offense and just the style of how I run. So just glad I was able to put a little weight on as a child. You know, you get a little taller. So. But It's been great, man. Again, you know, every team needs that big back that can maybe carry the load a couple of times. It's just one of those things. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, keep the weight up, stay solid, and stay athletic.
Pretty impressive running back class this year, too. To be a part of this group and to be mentioned with the names of the Melvin Gordons coming out as well, what does that do for you?
Honestly, it's real now. You know, when you think about it, and you know, you never really think that you could be one of those the top backs, and it never really comes to mind. But everything is just so real. Again, just so blessed, and you know, just lucky, really. And I'm just happy, and you know, I wouldn't change anything about it. I could be in a better place. Just probably one of the best times of my life.
Okay, going completely over here to left field. What is with Hercules on your Twitter account?
So, I actually saw the Disney movie Hercules maybe for my first time, maybe a year and a half. And Hercules, man, he is the man. Hercules is the man. So, I put it as Hercules. I just fell in love with Hercules. He could do it all.
That's me. I love it. I saw that and I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Hercules, David Cobb, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you on. Good luck in your April Pro Day. Good luck coming up in the draft, and we look forward to following you along in your career. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
All right. There goes David Cobb. Glad he got out of Dinky Town. I thought for sure that it would have been like, it would have made like Mitch Leidner come pick you up.
I think Mitch saw the tweet and ignored it.
Oh, we need to call him out. Thanks, David.
Thanks, yes, David.
Sir. Well, David Cobb has a very exciting couple of weeks coming up here. You heard it there. Titans, Chargers, Cardinals, Steelers, Ravens, Vikings, all interested in his services. All teams that could use good running backs have a pretty good passing game. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a good time to be a straight-ahead, sure-handed running back in the NFL, and that's what he could be.
I know, and I was saying Damian Wilson. I know those two guys are pretty close, mm-hmm. and they would like to get drafted together. But I know that Damian Wilson was also saying that it'd be pretty fun to be able to take him down, too.
It's fun when these guys, you know, the funny thing is that they never, even when they go to their NFL teams, their allegiances are still so much to their colleges.
Yeah.
And you see these teammates, and sometimes you'll see two guys hugging who just did battle for, you know,
right.
3 hours.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's right. They played together on the same team, or they played in the SEC or the Big Ten together. So
yeah,
it's always pretty cool. Coming up next, we will play Who's On First. You have no idea what that is, do you? We'll stick around. We'll tell you what it is when the Benchwarmers returns on 105 The Ticket.
It's totally Dave's idea, by the way. Dave,
you feeling a little angry this morning? Is this a happy place for you? This is a happy place for you?
Ooh, I love rage.
I do too. Just kind of, there's no doubt though it elicits certain feelings.
Yes, that's true.
And they're not warm and fuzzy feelings.
No. One of the best live shows I've been to.
It
was very fun.
I don't like concerts very much.
You wouldn't.
Unless you? No, I know.
Old man.
I am. We'll sing Frozen later just to prove how old I am.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
we're not. No, we're not.
I have forgotten. Thank you for bringing that up.
All right. Well, we won't sing Frozen, but we will play Who's On First, and that is that.
Yeah. Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team. Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have Who's On First.
Who's On First?
That is still one of the best comedy routines. Here's how it works. We have a couple of questions. What's going to happen first? A couple of scenarios. So you'll ask them, and
yep,
we'll go back and forth. So,
all right.
Shoot.
So we are going to start with, will the Timberwolves make the playoffs or the Wild win a Stanley Cup? So you're saying Timberwolves making the playoffs just at all?
At all.
Or the Wild winning a Stanley Cup?
So which happens first? I am going to say, as much as I don't necessarily like it because it would be a lot of fun to see the Wild win a Stanley Cup. I think the Timberwolves make the playoffs first, and I think it's next year. I really do. Maybe a year after that. When you look at how young this team is, and I really do believe that Garnett is a nice addition to what they have, but another year under the belt for Wiggins, another year under the belt for Levine, Ricky Rubio continues to grow, Shabazz Muhammad hopefully has finally a healthy year. This team can squeak into the playoffs. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to go far, but I will say that I think they squeak in before the Wild win a Stanley Cup because it's just so hard to win a Stanley Cup without a franchise goaltender in the NHL.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, then I don't want to step on your touchdown call.
Okay. No, I was just going to say I agree with the Wolves making the playoffs first. The Wild still have a goaltending situation.
Yeah.
And it's what are they going to do after this season? So and beyond. But the Wolves, absolutely. I'm not going to say next year. I'm going to say at least
two away.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the Stanley Cup winners the last couple years, Los Angeles last year, Jonathan Quick, Chicago, Corey Crawford, Boston, Tuukka Rask. I mean, those are
phenomenal
goalies in the NHL.
Yes.
And as much as I like Devin Dubnyk and Darcy Kemper and Nick Backstrom, they're not those guys.
No.
Nick Backstrom was 5 years ago.
Yes.
But he's not now.
No, I'm not. Backstrom, I wish they would not have re-signed him for 3 years. Still got another year on that contract. Kemper still has another year. So We'll get into that later.
That's moving down the list.
Definitely saying the Wolves will make the playoffs before the Wild win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. All right, agreed. What's next?
Next we have, will the Gopher women's basketball team win a Big Ten title or the men? Who first?
Women. And I'm going to go right now. I'm hard on this. They are going to win next year. They will win a Big Ten championship next year.
Dave.
And I'm telling you this right now because, first of all, they've already passed 20 wins. And I know they're fifth or sixth in the Big Ten as of right now. They're going to go on a run. I think they're going to get into the NCAA tournament this year. I think Marlene Stallings had a chance to spend some time with her. She knows how to coach. She knows how to inspire her players. And when you look at Amanda Zowie B, I believe is a sophomore. Carly Wagner is a freshman. Rachel Banham is back for another year after she gets healthy from her medical redshirt. You have three of the best female basketball players in the nation on that team for starters. They will win a Big Ten title, and I'm going to go ahead and say next year.
Well, you sold me.
That easy?
That easily. No,
you know, I have a used Datsun I'm trying to get rid of as well. A used Datsun. It's a car.
Oh, I was like, a Dachshund? You have a... Not the dog, the car.
The car, no, I don't have any used dogs to sell.
I don't want that. I'll take the dog.
What do you think, men or women?
I think, like I said, you just sold me on that. I'm not a big basketball person. I'm learning. And so you, judging by that and our previous conversation that we had regarding the men's team, I think I would go with women as well.
I think that it's... The women's college basketball, too, is a much more wide open landscape. I mean, it's just there's just more room for parity and movement, whereas in men's college basketball, when it comes to the Big Ten, it's always going to be Michigan State's going to be up near there. Iowa's going to be tough. Wisconsin's going to be tough. Rutgers has proved to be tough. It's just, Maryland is also tough. I mean, it's a tough conference to win. Because there's so many perennial powerhouses. Whereas in women's college basketball, especially in the Big Ten, it's a little more wide open. And I really do think that the Gopher women have a very good shot next year.
So I suppose more with men's basketball, do you have the same schools people are flocking to after high school?
I mean, it's the same thing. Tom Izzo comes to your house on a private jet. So say, by the way, here, check out this list. And he rolls out this 50-foot long sheet of paper. These are all the guys that have gone to the NBA.
Right. Yeah.
And check out my championship rings.
Let's get in the play now.
Yeah. Exactly. Kids can't say no to that. Whereas it's just a little different for women's college basketball.
Okay. Thank you.
There you go.
I appreciate that. Next one. This is more goaltenders. Goaltender. Devin Dubnyk. Is he going to get a long-term deal or will Darcy Kemper get a long-term deal? First, which one?
Devin Dubnyk. I don't think
long term.
Yeah, because and here's why: if they continue this run, Okay, and he's played, what, 20 straight games now as for the Wild. Start. Five shutouts since he's joined the Minnesota Wild. He is 11-2-1 in the month of February in three shutouts, and he may even win Player of the Month. If I'm his agent, as soon as the season's over, I'm saying, you either sign us or we're walking. And that's what it is. And that's how Darcy Kuemper got his deal last year. It's the agents. But the numbers speak for themselves. The team's riding him right now.
Oh, yeah.
And there is no way in my mind that agent doesn't say, you sign us to a 3-4 year deal or else any other team in the league right now is going to give Devin Dubnyk a much more legitimate shot than they would have before January.
Who else would?
Every team's looking for decent. I mean, if you don't have a franchise goaltender, there's always teams looking for solid goaltenders.
True.
And he's played well, and it's hard. We've talked about this before. It's so difficult to get a really great goaltender in free agency.
Yes.
It's darn near impossible. So if you can get a guy like him, and I'm not 100% sure what the free agent goalie class is going to look like when the season's all done, but when you do what he's done, and he has carried this team, he has brought them from, what were they, as high as 11th place at some point, 10th or 11th in the West, and now they're back in, and all because of a guy who has played 20 straight games and has amazing statistics, his stock has never been higher, and that's the game. And that's why agents come in. You play the hand that you're dealt. They have a phenomenal hand right now. In poker terms, you go all the way to the river with it.
My question with that is the same situation sort of happened at the end of last season with Kuemper.
You're right.
And
you're absolutely right.
And they assigned him to a 2-year deal. And he came back this season and just, I'm sorry, but he's got nothing right now. He has a lot of learning to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's, who he's working with other than Mason, obviously. But I think Dubnyk did a lot of work between, you know, when he fell off and kind of he was having a rough time. And I think he worked really hard and ended up where he is now. But I don't know if that will continue. And I know we've spoken about that before where, I mean, this is an unreal streak. This is crazy.
It's amazing.
And I don't know if that will continue. And I think the Wild, too, are, you know, it's kind of that sign him for that extended period of time. Kuemper still has a year left on his contract. Backstrom still has a year left on that contract. So it's...
But you never... Two things. One, you never really know how a guy is going to produce.
No, that is true.
You don't. And a lot of contracts are paid on potential.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Everson Griffin with the Vikings. I mean, he was paid, when he got his contract, he was paid on potential. Came out, had a great year last year.
Mm-hmm.
They paid Darcy Kuemper on potential, and he blew it this year. His statistics down the stretch were good. I don't have it in front of me, but I don't think they were as good as what Devin Dubnyk's been doing.
No, they weren't.
The other thing, too, is at the goaltender position, you can play a little bit longer. You can play. So the fact that Dubnyk is a little older.
That's,
He can keep going. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to go Marty Brodeur-esque and play too long or Yaromir Jagr and play till he's 42, but I just think when you sign contracts, it's always a game.
Yeah.
And if you're an agent, you're selling on what he's done and the fact that there's no reason to believe that he's going to do anything different.
Which, that is true. And I mean, again, judging by this, what he has done since he signed with the Wild, I would say he would get it over Kuemper. Yeah, I do.
Unfortunately for Darcy Kuemper, who may very well turn out to be a good goalie at some point, his confidence is shot.
He's very low right now.
He went 2-3 in Iowa.
I know.
With a 3.2 goals against.
I was going to say, they weren't even close games.
And that's the AHL.
Yeah.
So his confidence is shot, and sometimes, you know, it's about what you have and what the other guy can do for you. And if you're Chuck Fletcher and you're looking at Nick Backstrom, who at this point I think will probably never see in a Wild jersey again anyway, unless it's an extreme, an extreme scenario. You're looking at those two guys. What's that?
Was he the backup the other night? I thought I read that.
Yeah, I mean, but I unless an extreme scenario, I even think that they'll make Kuemper the backup once, you know, now that he's back.
Yeah.
I think that'll happen at some point. But you look at what you have, you look at what you have on the bench, and you look at what you have in the goal, and you see Devin Dubnyk, and you see what he did for this team, and the agent says to you, what do you want? You want a guy who just got you into the playoffs and won possibly the February player of the month and started 20, 40 games for you, whatever it was? Or you want the guy who just went 2-3 in a stint in Iowa?
Yeah, no, and that's true. I mean, that is true. That is something that needs to be thought about and looked at. And I think with his more experience that he has, mm-hmm. I think he would be the better option.
This is fun talking hockey. Why don't we do it for another segment?
I think that's a great idea.
Let's talk a little more Minnesota Wild coming up in the next segment. That is Who's on First. And we'll play that again sometime. That was fun.
I liked it.
We'll talk Wild coming up in our final segment of the Bench Warmers on 105 The Ticket. I know I used to know every word to the song.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Coolio.
This was my jam. Fantastic
I had
voyage.
Fun picking music, as if you can tell.
it's a nice mix. We go from like hard rock to 90s rap.
Yeah.
Still on a mission. That brings you back.
It does.
Welcome back to the Bench Warmers. Final segment here. We'll take you up to the top of the hour when we have the NASCAR
500. Is the Atlanta 500?
Atlanta 500. That sounds right. That's the top of the hour.
Travis Koppel found his car. So
thank
that's good,
goodness.
Although he still doesn't get to race.
How do you lose a NASCAR in a trailer?
Well, he didn't lose it. It was stolen.
Yes, Mr. Officer. My car is blue. It has a giant Tide logo on the front, on the back. I don't know that he has Tide.
Trailer.
I apologize. I don't know who his sponsors are. The trailer's black.
Can you imagine waking up in the morning being like, oh, okay, we're going to go out to the parking lot. We're going to get ready to roll out to the track. Hey.
Dude, where's my car?
Oh, you went there. Yes. Yes. I mean, where's our, they found the car. They found the car on a dirt road or secluded road in Georgia.
Which you kind of have to put it because you can't park it at the Hilton.
No, I imagine unloading that would be impossible.
You're filling out what's your license plate? I don't have one. Well, what color is the car?
Multi.
Orange, red, purple, blue, green. Has a GoDaddy.com logo on the side. We can go all day with that
Yeah,
one.
Let's stop.
You know what shouldn't stop? The Wild winning.
No. Minnesota Wild.
The Minnesota Wild, copyright Jill Hammy. And what's up with Patrick Waugh's beard?
Well, he is very mountainy.
He looks like Zach Galifianakis.
He does.
He looked I tweeted last night. I put the pictures side by side.
Oh, I didn't see that.
When did Zach Galifianakis start coaching in Minnesota?
I'm not sure what he's trying to start the playoff push early.
He's a goon, by the way.
Yeah.
His little antics last night.
I know.
Sending Cody McLeod out there at the end to try and pick a fight with Mikhail Granlund.
No, I know. That's just it. You're picking Granlund, really?
You can't. I loved Patrick Waugh as a player.
So did
I. You can't coach the way he played. It's not legal. I mean, you can't. He's got to get fined or something for sending McLeod out there to go with Charlie Coyle.
Charlie.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Charlie had some boxing moves. He was sticking and moving.
I'm telling you, that kid, he can fight. He's
and then
scrappy.
He just pulled him down. What do you think? Can the Wild pull this off? We have 20 games left. 20 games left in the season here. 11 home, 9 road. Do you think they make the playoffs?
I do. Yes.
Why?
The way that they've been playing, I think we were all a little on edge when, you know, it's like, okay, they're playing Edmonton and, I mean, I know they lost the one to Edmonton, but, where you want them to play a team that is tough, and Nashville is tough, and that game was awesome.
It was a great game. They have of the games they have left, the 20 games left, 10 of the teams are already in the playoffs. Yeah. 6 of them are outside the playoff picture.
Yeah,
it's not going to be easy.
No, it will not be easy. But I think that they're prepared.
They're the hottest team.
They're playing amazing hockey right now.
Yeah.
And I think if they keep playing amazing hockey, no one else gets hurt, that I think they will make it.
Well, you can't, as long as they don't get hurt because of goons last night. Mike Yo, by the way, we went over this. Mike Yo after the game was some, you know what I like about him? He doesn't mix words.
No, I know.
He tells you exactly what he's thinking.
I love that.
Yeah, this was after the game, after the win in Colorado last night and Cody McLeod's antics.
Well, once the dust settles, I think we'll be able to just kind of sit back and realize that that was a really big win for us.
What did you think of the proverbial dust?
That's garbage is what it is, but you know, You could feel it was going that way all game long. You know, they were obviously very emotional all game long, and I thought that in an emotional type of game, I thought that we did a good job of keeping our focus, and I really think that that was probably the difference in the end.
What do you think of Waugh putting on McLeod there and McLeod?
Well, I think, you know, we've seen the league respond to things like this, and I think that there's rules in place to try to prevent things like that. And you know, I'm quite certain that that they'll take a good long look at that.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the two voices you heard, Mike Russo from the Star Tribune, a phenomenal Wild writer, and Chad Graff from the Pioneer Press, who also hosts a show on this radio station on Saturdays. The question that Chad asked was so perfect. What do you think of what about the proverbial dust? It's not a pointed question. It gives Mike plenty of way to interpret it. And when he does interpret it the way he did to go in the direction that he went, it's the great answer. It's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolute garbage and other things that we can't say. And for a team that's out of the playoff picture with nothing left to play for, and it's just
to go out there and do that,
it's trash.
Yes, it is trash.
And I'm the only thing I'm sorry about is that Charlie Coyle didn't bash Cody McLeod's face in a little bit more. I'm not a proponent of fighting in the NHL.
No, and then he would end up getting, you know, he'd get suspended or there'd be, you know, kicked out of the game, whatever. They don't need that right now. They have, I think with Yo's coaching, it has taught them to be quite disciplined. And they have been.
He's disciplined. I mean, do you ever notice, and maybe I've noticed this more because I watch them after a lot more after games, but his face after a game, whether win, lose, or draw, his face is so red. It looks like I said to someone the other day, I said, did he just get out of the Fight Club? He's got a welt on one side. His eyebrows are red. And I don't know what he's screaming about or if it's just him trying to hold in his emotion, what he really wants to say. But he's intense. And for a guy who, 2 months ago was almost fired?
Yeah.
Or thought about being fired? I don't know how you take everything that he takes.
It is one of the most emotional roller coasters I can imagine you'd ever go through.
How many cases of Tums do you think he goes through a week?
I'm pretty sure he has just bottles of Pepto-Bismol in his suit pockets, in every single suit pocket.
Think he has a holster?
He probably does. A flask?
He carries a flask
of Pepto-Bismol.
Of Pepto.
Yes.
I think that's not a bad idea.
To.
Maybe you could market that.
But I know that I think we've all kind of been hard on him in the past, and whether fair or unfair, like, I think everybody feels like there needs to be blame somewhere. We need to blame someone. We need to hold someone responsible. And again, the common phrase, you can't fire a whole team. So everybody automatically goes to fire the coach, which in a lot of cases I don't think is appropriate.
No, and thankfully for the Wild, they didn't. He's still here. Up next for the Minnesota Wild, they are back home, I believe.
In Ottawa?
Is that right? No, that's right. No. I'm trying to look it up real quick. The Wild are, let's see, where are they next? They are Ottawa, home Tuesday night, 7:00. Tickets available if you still want to see the hottest goaltender in the league right now. It could win the February Player of the Month, and you saw earlier, I can't believe that's a first for the Wild to win a Player of the Month.
Yeah, they've never won Player of the Month. They've gotten Player of the Week before. There are several players that have, but never Player of the Month.
Let me ask you a question. Where and if at all and when do you give Devin Dubnyk a break down this stretch? Do you? Because that's the question. He's played 20 games straight.
I know he has. He's on fire. How do you take him out, though, at this point? How do you, this guy that's playing so well, how do you just be like, no, you're going to sit? I mean, wouldn't that scare you? Be like, what if I sit tonight and then all of a sudden my amazingness goes away? I'm not saying that.
No,
but, it's a thought.
My amazingness is long gone. Don't worry about it. I think you're right. And a lot of people have pointed to, I think, the Capitals next Thursday or another team that isn't really in it. And when you look, they don't face a lot of teams. As we said, only six teams down the stretch here are teams that are currently not in the playoffs.
Right.
And where they are, at this point, every loss could knock them right back out again.
Yes, it could.
I don't know. He didn't have a lot of tread. And I don't know, the numbers of what he had coming in, how many games he played coming in before he got to the Minnesota Wild. But he seems happy and not, he doesn't seem tired or fatigued at all.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he's, and I think adrenaline, that just keeps, you know, it's keeping him moving. It's keeping the whole team moving.
And confidence. You can't underestimate, and I think we touched on this last week, but when you're a goaltender who's been to three or four teams like he has, to finally be somewhere where everyone's talking about you and how great you are, coming from cities where you're a liability,
right,
and you're the problem.
It was the same like with Niederreiter.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes it's, yes, absolutely right. Sometimes a change of scenery is what you need.
Yeah, and it's clearly worked.
And they, and Niederreiter's a great example. They gave up nothing. They gave up a Cal Clutterbuck for a guy that came in here and has just passed the 20 goal plateau.
Yeah. I mean, he's done phenomenal things with this team and in this city, and it just seems like he's comfortable here. He likes it here. He likes who he's playing with, and that's what happens.
Deadline day. Trade deadline is Monday, Jill.
Tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Who do you want the Wild to pick up? What position or who?
I would like them to pick up another defenseman.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will happen. There's not a lot out there right now.
No.
So, I know you were saying something earlier, too, about someone that they were looking, Paul Martin?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm trying to find it, but I thought it was either Paul Martin or Jordan Leopold, one of those guys, one of those former Gophers coming back.
Oh, Leopold. Yeah, I did read something about that.
Maybe that's what it was. I think I got the name wrong, but, I mean, there's no doubt they need defensive help at this point.
They're,
when you're getting fourth line scoring and top line scoring, you don't necessarily need another forward. Obviously, they have the goaltender situation locked up. Yeah, I mean, they need, with Spurgeon out, Scandella missed some time last night.
Zucker's out,
but they got to have defensive help.
Yes.
And Bergenheim? I keep wanting to call him Bergenmeyer. Bergenheim is a nice addition.
Yeah.
He takes Jason Zucker's place or Matt Cook's place, depending on where you put him. And I think he's a little more skilled than Matt Cook, closer of a Jason Zucker. But it is a nice problem to have. Trade deadline is tomorrow. Wild continue this week. That's going to do it for the bench warmers this week. Jill,
hour flew by.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dave.
It was fun. And you know what? We didn't get to sing Frozen.
Well,
maybe next week. We'll just hold that carrot out there. Thanks for joining us this week. NASCAR's up next. You're listening to Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.